Welcome to my Caucasian home.
Oh my God.
Talented Orient. Show stopping.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
My name is Ekaterina Petrovna Zamochkova.
Yeah, big gay out.
But you can call me Katya.
Diverse representations of trans people in the media, I think, are so important.
I guess I just look different.
Sing it.
I am proud to be gay.
Sing the fucking song.
Well, all right. If you insist, I'll sing my song.
Yeah.
Song.
Gay Panic with Jack and Jake.
My machine. Oh, what's mine? I drifted shapes and shaping.
Bingo, get the mic right. I'm not even going to be on the radio if you can't figure out this panel. How long have we been doing this?
I mean, you were gone last week. I think I just got really set in my ways of having just one mic turned off.
Block it out. You don't need that one bar anymore.
Turn them all off. Who even is that guy? How did you get in here, sir? Leave. Security.
Help me.
000, please.
Mother!
Someone, if you can hear this, call 000 to SER Studios right now. There is a strange blonde man in the studio with me.
Yeah. Don't actually call that number.
No, do
call
not.
My number.
Yeah.
Which is 04, you wish.
You are listening to Gay Panic on 2SER 107.3. We're the source of all things sex, sexuality, and gender diversity. It's Jack and Jake with you. Jake, you're back.
I know. I listened to your intro last week as I was sitting in my boyfriend's place, deathly sick, without a voice. Thank you for the sympathy.
Super ill.
And heard you sounding super kind of sad and not with that blonde boy in the studio. But I did hear you call 000 because you were frightened yeah. without my presence. But no, you sounded great. Show sounded good, but very nice to be back and like 90% recovered.
Absolutely. Well, there was no one to bounce off last week. No one to, you know, vibe off, like yep. shoot the shit with, so to speak. Language warning, content warning. And yeah, it was just a really sad time. But we did have some fun guests on. We've got some fun guests tonight as well.
Totally.
Brendan McLean is going to be coming in the studio. He's just dropped Solo, which is his brand new EP. It's a really big change. Directions. If you've listened to Brendan in the past, it's more been kind of euphoric pop, I want to say. And this one is definitely a big change to electro, techno.
Metal,
yeah. Hardcore death metal. So he is just screaming consistently into the mic for at least 7 minutes.
But it's also kind of like in the style of baby metal, where it's also half Japanese and he transforms into a kawaii little Japanese girl. But I'm very excited to have Brendan in. He'll be coming in very, very shortly. But we're also going to do some marriage equality postal survey chat because no one's talking about it. No one even knows it's going on. So guess what? The government is sending you out little letters. It's got two little boxes. And no, they're not free bonds.
No.
It is like yes or no. And it's whether or not we want... breakfast menu until 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's a really important survey that they've decided to send out. So just make sure you check it.
Yeah.
But
and,
actually...
And mail it back too, because I definitely want hash browns at 8:45. It coming is back home through drive-through. Tired. Want some potatoes.
It is actually a very important survey that you should take part in if you are going to vote yes. If you feel like voting no, the best thing to do is not vote at all, because what's happening is it's not necessarily an opinion, but you're voting on human rights and the equal opportunities of other people. I'm just going to put it out there. If you feel like voting no, just don't vote at all, because if you're voting no, chances are it's not going to affect you.
Yeah.
So best thing to do is just don't return it.
It's just like, who wouldn't want potatoes at 8:45 on a Friday? Like, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to go to Stanmore Macca's and go get some hash browns. That's what I could be doing, and I don't have the opportunity.
Like, someone is just totally yeah. losing their mind at the moment.
Like, no, and someone's totally like, dude, this guy's talking about hash potatoes. Like, they are so decent.
They're so on it right now.
Change someone's mind. No, we're actually going to hear from John McAloom and Liam Casey, both from the Graduate School of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney. What they're doing is conducting an online survey calling for LGBTIQ Australian participants to talk about what their feelings are, their angst, their precautions, and also how they're just feeling about the climate here in Australia at the moment around the marriage equality postal vote. And they've kind of rallied all these different questions together and have aggregated a whole bunch of opinions. You'll be hearing from those guys about how queer Australians are feeling in this politically tumultuous time.
Brendan McLean is going to be joining us in the studio next. This is a track off his EP Solo. It's Fighting For. You're on 2SER.
Oh, Henry, I gave you the worst of me. Your friends see the weight you've buckled underneath. So, honey, this is your apology. Another for giving you the worst of me. 'Cause if we just didn't work, then it's nobody's fault. Or cry, or cry. It's like I found the right face, but it's in the wrong place. And time, and time. I wanna go down in flames. I'm gonna tear you apart. When everything could be simple, I wanted it to be hard. Gonna fight like it mattered. I'm ready to go to war. Now everything else is shattered. You know what I'm fighting for. Oh, Henry, you gave me the worst of you. Paraded the many men that you went through. I waited, although you never told me to. Just stay. But when your pills start to drop, and my bottle is gone of wine, of wine. I guess you'll find a new face who can fill in the space this time. Well, fine. I wanna go down in flames. I'm gonna tear you apart. When everything could be simple, I wanted it to be hard. In flames, I'm gonna tear you apart. When everything could be simple, I wanted it to be hard. I'm gonna fight like it mattered. I'm ready to go to war. Now everything else is shattered. You know what I'm fighting for. I wanna go down in flames. I'm gonna tear you apart. I need to know you remember. I need to know.
Believe in equality and believe everyone deserves the chance to marry the person they love. Hi there, I'm Jeff Field, 2SER's news director, and I'm urging you to vote yes in the postal ballot, asking you whether you believe Australia's Marriage Act should be changed. 2SER is a proud supporter of marriage equality and encourages all fair-minded people to do the right thing. The LGBTIQ community is hoping for equality before the end of the year, and with your help, it might just happen. If you want marriage equality and you've registered to take part in the postal ballot, please vote yes when your form arrives. Hi there, I'm Jeff Field, 2SER's news director. For years, the LGBTIQ community has been battling for the right to marry the person they love. 2SER urges you to do the right thing and vote for change. Don't blow your chance to be part of history. Vote yes.
Cradle the balls and work the shaft. Cradle the balls and work the shaft. Sing it with me. Cradle the balls.
Gay Panic on 2SER, where we get a computer to promo our show so a volunteer doesn't get sued for this.
Cradle the balls and work the shaft. Cradle the balls and work the shaft.
That was Fighting For off Brendan McLean's latest EP, Solo. You are, of course, on Gay Panic on 2SCR with Jack and Jake.
Now, a year on from Fun Bang One, Sydney-based artist Brendan McLean signed to the Harbour Agency and has dropped Solo, a four-track EP giving me dabs of The Knife, Patrick Wolf, and Ten Snake meets Teed.
Solo is very much a lightning strike of electronica, casting a fork in his musical style and birthing a genre of an exploratory bender.
I'm crowning.
Brendan joins us in the 2SER studios now to chat the EP, talk about marriage equality as always, and upcoming shows. Brendan, thank you so much for jumping in the studio with us.
Hey, pleasure.
Welcome straight off the plane back from Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
But secret on the low.
But secret. We didn't know that. Yeah.
Just that part where I said
NDA before we went on. Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah.
That part where Jake just talked about it.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the EP, because for me, it was very much a completely different style. I'm used to kind of euphoric pop Brendan McLean. This one does delve into the darker side of electronica beats. Was this something that you actively decided to do, and when did that start happening?
I made this EP out of like pure panic. I started to make my album, and I realized that I had something left unfinished in pop that I hadn't quite proven I could do. I think I got really close with like Tectonic on Fun Bang. I got really damn close. But I think what I ended up doing with that last record was making songs I wanted to hear and not songs I wanted to make. And I guess with this one, it leans into pop that I have always loved. So that more on the Robin Royksopp side of things, and that side of pop music where you do have to care about lyrics still.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the thumping beats and those pulsate throughout the entire thing, but it is some, there's this honesty within the lyricism. How do you weave that in there? Because some of them are super intricate and really well like timed to the point where it's on the offbeat as well. And I'm like, I don't know how to like clap along to a song, let alone time that. Was that like a very intricate process?
I think you can make more complicated music if you start with a good product. I think, you know, a lot of people hear, you know, a Radiohead song or an Arcade Fire song, and, you know, they can pick out the time signature, and then maybe they turn around and try and recreate that song. But the only reason that they ended up using that time signature was because they felt they had to express whatever lyric or whatever mood or rhythm was behind the song. I think people far too often start with the end product, which is, again, what I think I did with the last one. But some lyrics force you to have strange time signatures or force you to take your vocals in a different direction. Or with one of the tracks, you know, it was missing a bridge, but it wasn't adding a middle eight. It was adding your Simo Sue on a verse, which I never expected to be like, oh, it's a Brendan McLean track with a verse dropped in it. Like that wasn't something I would have let myself do, but the songs kept calling for it. And I suppose by performing them live before I released them, which I'd never done before, I'd always released stuff and figured out how to do them live. With these tracks, I really worked them on the road a little more and adapted them and changed them. And that's why I'm having so much fun with the live shows now. And it feels a little more real because I've put them out in the world and gauged the reaction and maybe tweaked them a little bit from there.
So where do you tend to begin when you go into a songwriting process, or is that kind of evolving over time now?
Now it's just lyrics. Absolutely going back to lyrics and finding the easiest way to start. And, you know, it's why I have a producer and I understand what that is now. And you know, really, really, really happy and excited to say that the executive producer, the main producer of my album will be the lovely Sarah Belkner.
Oh, amazing.
So she's going to be taking
her as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've been working on the album for 8 weeks as we put out Solo at the same time. And we were luckily enough to win the individual creative arts grant for the OSCO for this year.
Awesome.
So yeah, that'll cover the whole album, so I get to have a career.
Yay.
Which is really exciting and validating, and I suppose lets me explore these lyrics more and not worry so much about what I'm saying on Twitter or anything like that. Just making good music and
yeah
that's exciting.
So and you're 8 weeks into writing the album from
we just put out that EP maybe a week and a half ago, and I start tracking the album in 2 weeks.
Right.
Week and a half. Yeah. So we're busy.
The EP, though, obviously, I think, as you say there, kind of makes that bridge between something that you thought you had finished and moving on to this new project.
There was definitely a darker pop left and a different performance style as well. I've been working a lot with Blake Lawrence, who dances under the name Canoe.
Okay.
And he's brought a different element. I was performing with a band, or maybe a lot of people have seen me with a ukulele or the piano. And it wasn't enough just to perform with the backing track, but working with a performance artist and choreographers and finding it that way lets me sing with a bit more sincerity than I used to. The theatre is in the dancer or in the lighting or in their costume, and I can just focus on singing the songs, so it's less cabaret, I suppose, than I used to be, and really, vulnerable pop.
Is that your way in term? Do you get to interpret the dance, or is it you collaborating with the dancer to...
I think it keeps me interested.
Yeah.
Because I get bored so quickly. And, I guess that's why, in the end, commercial cabaret wasn't for me, because I just couldn't do the same thing every night. So just giving dancers the ability to go wherever they want lets each night be new for me and reminds me, even if, admittedly, there's a backing track playing the song and I'm just at the mic singing over a backing track, there's something new and fresh in it for me, and a reason to sing it differently, or a reason to just turn up and do my job and do it really well.
Mm.
So it's been fun. And as I said, these tracks were designed to be performed live, especially the one that we're going to have a listen to as well.
I want to briefly touch on one that we aren't going to get the chance to listen to, but if you do get your ears around the EP, you must touch on it, Rot, which has been redone with Simosu, as you say there,
yeah,
a queer producer in his own right. I really love Simosu's direction and style. How did you come to collaborate?
I really loved some of the artists at Yes Rave, particularly... Blinky Trill, who is a part of Yes Rave as well. So I was a super big fan, and I don't know, I've always liked these. It's a great generation of hip hop coming out right now, and it feels really genuine and local.
Mm.
It feels like there's a really real local flavor, and I think Simo has really touched on it with Yes Rave and is gathering some great people. I was just lucky enough to put out my feelers and Blinky had a listen to it, and I was like, I think this is Simo's voice. And we had a listen, and, he's got that kind of great, screechy, kind of half-punk rap sound. And I just never really heard anything like it.
Mm.
And was like, they had to be on the record. And, there's a wonderful bit of community that, as a solo artist, I hadn't experienced before. And I get it now. It's like, oh, wow, I really want to get out and collaborate. This is fun.
Yeah.
Everybody can be involved,
And you're going to be performing it live on stage at Oxford Circus tomorrow night.
Yes.
With Stereogamous, Froyo, Nick Kelly, Donatachi, who are going to be up on stage. It's a big queer party.
It's going to be great. It's like really twink heavy, and then it gets like twunky with me.
Twunky.
And then it's like gay uncles with Paul Mack and Johnny.
Absolutely.
So, you got all your generation slowly falling down for you. It'll be wonderful. But yeah, I'll be playing all the new stuff and, all my hit. Do I have a hit yet?
I don't know. Definitely got hits.
Right. Maybe if you combine like three songs of mine together, we've got like one. But I'll be giving it all I can, because I turned 30 at the end of this year. This is the end of my pop career. I'm out. It's like we're turning to like Brendan McLean, Pearl Jam, Aaron.
Does that mean the album has to be out before the end of the year?
Who knows what the album's gonna sound like?
Mm.
Like Pearl Jam.
Well, yeah, I guess gave that away. It's fine. It's a bit milky. Yeah. Anyway, come tomorrow and see me before I get arthritis.
I mean, that would be a whole new style, though. It'd be totally different.
I'm trying for equality.
But you've been smashing out the shows, and as we speak about equality, you played with Gordy last night at the Commune.
Yes, it was wonderful.
What was the vibe like down there? So it was for the Yes campaign, raising money and awareness.
Yeah, well, we only had like a week and a half to put it on. They reached out. I was still in Nice, where I was in Nice. Which is where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone donated their sets. And so I think, within the space of a week and a half, we sold enough tickets to raise $13,000.
That's huge.
Wow. For AME. So that is just massive. And it just shows me how, I know there's a lot of no heavy news going on right now, and it kind of feels like it's swayed against us. But this constant proof that we really are galvanized and we are turning up to our events. Like when we're putting them on, boy, we're turning up. Yeah. And I've never seen it like that. Like, I'm an old man. I'm 29. I'm almost dead. and, like, I don't think I've ever seen people, yes, one, this upset and stressed and anxious. I am too. All the time, I feel like there's additional weight on me all day. But at the same time, turning up to these events and hugging your friends and just looking them in the eye and everyone feeling that same weight makes it a hell of a lot lighter. So, yeah, whenever you get the chance, if you're feeling anxious, come out to an event. And if it's something, if it's me tomorrow and you can have a dance, or if it's something else during the week we can raise money, just get out and see your community and you won't feel so alone. Don't feel angry alone in this. That's the worst choice you could make.
Is any of that anxiety coming along with you as you're navigating through the writing process for your record?
I think it has to. I think, you know, funnily enough, I keep writing more about being a poor advocate for women in my early gay years and the very exclusionary way that I think a lot of cis gay men treat women, and that they don't need to be a part of our festivals and they don't need to be a part of queerness. And I see myself addressing that and being a little more compassionate towards what I can directly do all the time. But that's why I just say get out and remind yourself that we're all going through this together right now. And I think as few walls as we can have between each other, the better. But yeah, get out and hug someone and remind yourself that we're all out there together.
I think that's a good point to take as well. If there's any potential silver lining from this horrid excuse of a postal survey, which is totally detrimental to young queer people's health, who so often I hear politicians talking about how it's going to affect the youth. And I'm like, have any of you even spoken to the youth? Mm-hmm. Where is the youth voice? Why are we not hearing it? Why is it being said for by some white liberal politician who's 45 years old and so out of touch? But regardless, if there is a silver lining, I think it's the fact that we are reminded that everyone is in it together, regardless of gender, of sexuality, of race, of ethnicity. People can support same-sex marriage and it doesn't matter what your background. So I think that's one thing that I've been able to take away as a positive note. And I love seeing all the rainbows on houses, rainbow flags, yeses everywhere. I need to see more of that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You do quite... I wake up really early. Because I'm old. I get up at 6 a.m. to go for my almond flat white in the morning.
That's beautiful.
And every couple of days, there's just an extra flag on a window. And I'll tell you what, like, if you don't think people notice that, like, I gave that flag a thumbs up. And no one was there. No one could see me. I just gave it a thumbs up. And it made my day feel good.
Yes.
So if you've done that, just, like, thank you. And if you're thinking about doing it, but no one will care. Everyone on my streets, you know, agrees in my bubble, whatever. No, it's like someone is going to feel really good about that when they wake up way too early and a little hungover and they feel a bit crappy, but they look up and there's a new little rainbow flag in the window. That's cool.
Step by step.
Step by step, day by day.
With an almond coffee.
Thank you. Thank you for being a friend.
Brendan is going to be performing tomorrow night at the Oxford Circus. You can grab tickets at outtix.co. His EP is up now. You can stream it, but also buy it. BrendanMcLean.bandcamp.com is where you do that. Links will be up on 2SER.com. We're going to take another track off the EP now, Brendan. And this one is something that you haven't done before. It's a very long, very explorative, very spatial track. Tell us about it.
I remember going into my first publishing session in New York. I went into Atlantic Studio and I walked into the songwriting booth and I just heard Monument by Robin and Royksopp. Yes. And oh, I said, hey, you know, I don't care what we make. We could make a 8-minute song, a 10-minute song. And the guy said, I absolutely do care. I want to get this played on McDonald's ad. And ever since that day, I've been trying to run as far from that kind of songwriting and producing. And this is about as far as the pendulum could swing away from that very moment that I didn't really care about music syncs. I just wanted to write good music instead.
And what an inspiration. Monument, such a tune.
Absolutely. So, yeah, go to space with it. Dive in deep. It's one you can dance to. Like,
it absolutely is.
Yeah, you'll feel this. So this vibe you're going to feel right now, come feel that tomorrow.
This is Inside Outer Space. You can catch it at Oxford Circus. Brendan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Love you.
You're on Gay Panic.
hear the atmosphere, I feel like, I feel like, inside and all around everything we hold dear, come to the light, come to the light.
closely. This is the sound of a brain that's been to UTS School of Communication. Listen again. This is the sound of a brain that hasn't. So, if your bosses need to make decisions to make things happen for them at work, which would you think they'd rather have?
Make your future happen. Apply to UTS School of Communication, the number one young uni. UTS School of Communication, sponsors of 2SER.
My son is gay and living in New York, darling. I'm going to New York tomorrow. I can see him.
He won't want to see you.
Of course he will, darling. Gay people love me. All my friends are gay. I mean, I laugh with them. I cry with them, darling. You know, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Gay Panic on 2SER. What all the gay boy mums listen to.
Funny, 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 funny. Funny!
You want me in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment. I can tell you that you owe me in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the moment. But I never want to ask of you anything you saw in my eyes, anything you show in my eyes. Living just in the moment. No one ever want to say to you what I keep inside. Cause when I think about it,
you don't know me like you say it do, you see it do. No, 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 baby.
When your survey comes in the mail, vote yes to marriage equality. Hi, I'm Ollie Henderson, a reporter for The Wire at 2SER. You know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm in love. But not all love in Australia is treated equally. I still can't get married. It would mean the world to me and thousands of other LGBTIQ people if you stood with us on the right side of history. Vote yes to marriage equality.
The City of Sydney is seeking community members to join the Inclusion Advisory Panel. Can you provide expert advice about improving inclusion for people with disability to help with planning, policy development, sustainability, and community consultation? Your expertise in the disability field will be highly valued. Applications close 5 p.m. Friday, the 29th of September, 2017. Visit cityofsydney.newsouthwales.gov.au/inclusion or call 9265 9333. Sponsors of 2SER.
Bitch, when your pussy is Oscar worthy, holla at me. But until then, shut your fucking goddamn mouth.
Gay Panic, telling it like it is.
We tell it straight up, upside down, roundabout, 180 degrees, totally like it is.
Yeah, where is this interesting room I'm in? Not quite sure what that smell is, but...
This is the gay show where we talk about gay things. You just heard from Taishi, Sabini's remix of You Say You Do, and Brenna McLean, who's going to be performing at the Oxford Circus with a bunch of other fabulous queer artists, Stereogamous, Donatachi, Froyo, Nick Kelly. You can get tickets from outtix.co.
Wow.
Or jump on Brenna McLean's Facebook. We'll put a few links up onto ser.com just in case you get lost on those interwebs, because they can be kind of confusing.
I get on the internet and I just don't know how to get off it.
Jake,
it's
I
so
love
good to
having
see you
back.
I know, it's so nice to be back in your proximity.
Yeah.
No, it's a good time. It's fresh, and I think that more than ever, we spent a month away from this program and then coming back into the thick of the political unraveling of the marriage equality debate. I think it is important to have gay, queer voices on the air, not to always just plug, you know, vote yes, but to also familiarize yourself that there are a multitude of people who live on the face of this planet, and there are some of those who do not have the equal rights that you might share as a heterosexual listener. Maybe you're not heterosexual, maybe you are of the spectrum, but it is good to know that there are other people like that out there, which are us. I'm gay, get it?
But yes!
yeah, I'm in no way plugging it, but put a little tick in the YES box.
But we are, of course, plugging that because, yeah, we love talking about marriage equality and about gay things.
Yeah.
But you had a chat with some boys. Yes. A boy?
Two boys. Mm. Liam Casey, who's a master's student here at the University of Technology, Sydney, and also his supervisor, John McAloon. They're both within clinical psychology, within the grad school of health, which is one of the health faculties here. And they're actually collaborating on putting together this survey, which is calling for LGBTIQ Australians to partake. It's got a number of quite in-depth and personal questions about their historical experience as well. You're not just looking at the current time and what's happening with the postal survey, but also past experiences of homophobia and then how that is kind of shaping them and their mental health now. And it's really to create a mental health portrait of what it means to be a queer Australian. So here is Liam Casey and John McAloon. I caught up with them a little bit earlier today.
We're primarily interested in the impact of this discussion and the survey on the mental health and well-being of LGBTI people. And what we figure is that as this debate unfolds and moves into different phases, so it's coming to crunch time soon, and then after crunch time there'll be some government decision. Down the track at some point there'll be some resolution and laws will be changed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's more a matter of when. But being able to map the changes in well-being and mental health and sense of efficacy, depression, anxiety, those sorts of things over that period of time allows us to see how the climate and the government's response has an impact on a portion of our community.
There would be some people who might already be experiencing things like depression and anxiety, and they may find that exacerbated by what's going on in the press and the general public at the moment. There may be other people who are doing pretty well, pretty smooth sailing, and find that this is affecting them. I know there's been a lot of commentary sort of online of people who say it brings up a lot of feelings of being back in high school and some of the depression and anxiety that can accompany that for LGBTQI people.
Mm. One thing that I think we kind of started to consider recently was that we hadn't originally considered was the sense of anger that people are feeling, members of that community are feeling, particularly in response to the High Court, which really affirmed the government's position, I think. Perception was that it affirmed the government's position. Sense of anger, sense of frustration, sense of being singled out. And we know those things have implications for people's sense of well-being, people's mental health down the track.
Have you got from any responses that people feel like they're somewhat being misrepresented or misspoken for?
I would say perhaps not that they feel misrepresented or misspoken for, but they feel a little powerless. You know, this very big conversation is taking place that they feel affects them at the end of the day. And they're really out of control of that. There's only so much individual people feel like they can do. And so I guess there's a sense of frustration born out of that.
And frustration that it remains non-binding, that this can continue on for some time. Nothing really needs, or nothing is 100% promised beyond this postal survey.
Yeah, absolutely. In Ireland, you know, there was a very clear process laid out by what was required by law. Although the High Court did affirm the government's position, this, we really didn't have a precedent for it in Australia, and there's nothing to indicate that a yes or no result either way is really going to settle this issue for anybody.
Why track people's experiences over time?
Really, this is a fairly standard way of doing research. What we want to see is how change occurs for people over time. We will see different things happen as the survey unfolds. So there's a survey, then there's a High Court response to the government's position. Then the survey will close. Then the government will announce the results of the survey. Then government will announce a position. We're looking at two sorts of things. We're looking at things that we know vary. You know, your mood changes on a day-to-day basis, that sort of stuff. But your sense of who you are, your sense of your efficacy, your sense of fairly stable personality type things generally remains pretty stable over time. So those two things we anticipate will move around quite a lot for people as the process unfolds. Sampling people over time allows us to see how things change for them given changes in the environment.
Do you think it's solely dependent on that, and I guess what happens or what unfolds politically? Because you say there, you know, this would eventually become legislation, but you seem quite confident that, you know, at some point in time we'll move towards that direction. Do you think people can be as optimistic themselves to say, you know, that this is going to happen?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I feel it might be one of those situations where you kind of can't see the forest for the trees. As much as people might say logically to themselves, this is going to happen, this is inevitable, when it feels so drawn out, it can be difficult to really convince yourself of that. You know, I think people might feel, you know, they feel it more than they think it. They feel this will never happen, even though they know that's not really, probably not the case.
This inescapability, was that something that also came up, just that people can't get away from this conversation, or they're too ingrained into it?
That's an interesting question, the idea of being too ingrained. There's definitely the sense that people can't escape it even when they want to. You know, you cannot watch a news update. You cannot sit on a bus and listen to your fellow passengers without coming across something about this issue at the moment. It's interesting to see whether that is engaging for people, whether they feel, you know, engaged with an issue that's affecting them, or if they feel worn down by it. There are certainly some responses so far that sort of fall on both sides of that coin. People, a bit of a sense of community. We've seen a lot of rallies and a really real upsurge in community events and activism in response to this, which could be seen as a positive. But on the other hand, people, as I said earlier, feel really individually worn down.
And what do you think that leads to psychologically, or what can that lead to in other instances where people are so worn out by something?
We know when that happens, when people are under chronic stress, when people feel disenfranchised, when people feel they've been isolated from society for whatever reason, that does have consequences for their well-being, for their affect, for anxiety, stress. And we know those things have implications for physical health as well as mental health. You know, something Liam was saying just before made me think, it's okay for somebody to disagree with you. It's okay for somebody to have an opinion that's different from yours. The interesting thing here, one of the interesting things here, is the way that disagreement is justified. So a portion of our community should not have equal rights with the rest of our community. There's a position, you know, we can agree or disagree on that. But then watching the range of justifications that come along to support that difference of opinion, I think is the thing that's causing a lot of discomfort for LGBTQI people.
And you raised, I know this is a bit of a tangent, but you were talking about data there before, and Liam, that was something that you raised, that there is an absence of it in this area. Is it because something like this has never really been on the cards before? We just don't have access to that information?
Yeah, absolutely. This is quite interesting from a research point of view, because obviously the marriage equality debate has been going on in Australia for several years now. So it's always been on the cards, so it's been quite difficult to gather data on that because it's an issue that's never gone away. So you can't really separate people's responses to that debate from their responses to other day-to-day stresses in their lives, and that's works, relationships, that sort of thing. But now it's really come to a head, and this issue has become all-consuming, that it is kind of having a direct effect that that may be quantifiable on Australians, and yeah, this allows us to capture it for the first time in a way that we haven't been able to before.
Where do you think we go from here? Seeing as this has been such a contentious and hot topic now, as you'd mentioned, for a couple of years, do you imagine us reaching a peak when it comes to research and discourse around this and then it dropping back down? Because I know as a queer Australian, we need to continue to rally for queer and LGBTIQ causes. There is a big concern within the transgender community too, that if the marriage equality debate continues, we get it, then everyone will forget about other queer Australians. Do you see that there would be a research interest, say, for example, post-marriage equality, looking at the mental health implications of transgender equal rights?
I really hope so. That's definitely a hope and an interest of mine, something a lot of people have contacted me while we've been collecting participants for this survey, saying, what about the experience of, you know, group X, Y, Z, you know, people who, despite us capturing anyone within the LGBTQR community, we may not have been directly looking to recruit. I'm thinking, for example, of people who are married to transgender people. They may not identify as LGBTQI themselves, but being in that really close relationship in a sort of LGBTQI context, they are also feeling the effects of this debate. I certainly hope that down the track, research will become more engaged with those people and really represent their experiences, both positive and negative.
I think it's also interesting from the point of view that this is an example of one of those elements of social change. There's an opportunity here for legislation to lead change. And while that's the case, it doesn't mean that everything will be hunky-dory once that legislation has passed. There's certainly potential to see some residual effects, not only of this discussion, but also of prejudice in general towards LGBTQI people. And I think that's where research like this can go to inform how we discuss, how we talk. We'll be right back.
Introducing Soft Center, a new one-day festival of extreme electronica, experimental lightworks, and immersive performance art. Don't miss a made-up sound and Via app making their Australian debut alongside Lawrence English, Megan Streeter, and Hossein Gamey, an exclusive collaboration between Divide and Dissolve and File. Also on the bill are Din, a new collaboration between Rainbow Chan and Moon Holiday. Soft Center, September 23 at Casula Powerhouse. Info and tickets at softcenter.com.au. Sponsors of 2SER.
2SER's Back to Funk returns October 8 for a special 2SER birthday barbecue session and record fair. 2SER DJs Meme, Frenzy, Paris Groove Scooter, Gons, Ruffy Lovechild and Trevor Parkey will guarantee tunes of the highest quality to soundtrack your afternoon of crate digging. The Back to Funk 2SER birthday barbecue session and record fair, Sunday, October 8 at the Vic on the Park, Marrickville. Entry is free and it's family and dog friendly. 2SER is a proud supporter of the Back to Funk barbecue sessions.
Gay Panic Radio on 2SER or we'll beat the shit out of you. Outside, how about that?
How about
Daniel Bergoli coming at it with a rap career.
I know, and you like precursored it with that remix and sting right there. I feel like you basically owed $67,000.
In
$1 coins.
Yeah.
That is the absolute antithesis of I lost
of cultural appropriation being Danielle Bregoli.
True.
She's put out a couple of trap tracks. Trap tracks. I don't know. Good on her. Make that money. Do whatever you want to do. Don't harm anyone in the process. But we did hear an industrial banger just before that from Machine Woman. That one is called Camille from OHM Makes Me Feel Loved. And don't she do that, you know? And just before that, thanks to Liam Casey and John McAloon from the Grad School of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, conducting that awesome survey. You can still partake too. It's open for the next little while. If you want to find out more about that, just put into your browser survey.lgbt. You can also find them on Facebook at survey.lgbt. And so far, it's attracted more than 1,000, I think, respondents, more than 1,000, going towards that 2,000 mark. So check it out if you're interested.
Brendan McLean, previous guest on the program, also said it's a really sensitive and well thought out survey. So worth having a look at too if you've ever done them before. And Brendan McLean, speaking of the gentleman, the electro pop artist, you can catch him at Oxford Circus. Tickets at outtix.co. Or just jump on his Facebook page and find them there. That's going to be going down from about 7 p.m. onwards with a bunch of other cool dudes like Stereogamous, Froyo, and some genderqueer artists in there too.
He was talking about gelato as well, and you've mentioned Froyo a couple of times. I'm craving dessert.
Craving an ice cream.
I haven't even eaten dinner. That's the crazy thing. Like, I haven't even eaten a full solid meal, and I'm already craving, like, something sludgy and really yummy for dessert.
Let's see what we can do for you.
We have Hardcore Classic coming up. That's good enough.
I know. That's all we need to eat. Just sustain us with some hectic hip-hop tunes.
Sprinkle on some confectionery goodness that comes through in the rap
That's what's happening right now. This is from Rhapsody. It's brand new LP, Layla's Wisdom. There's a bunch of cool features on here. Anderson Park is one of them. Terrence Martin, BJ the Chicago Kid. Check the full thing out. But this one is just a taste of her single stuff. Pay Up is the name of the single. We'll see you next week.
Hopefully they do. I need some money to get that Froyo.
Yeah, where's my 67,000?
I don't know. How much Froyo could you get with that? A lot.
I'm going to say like 22 kilos.
A day.
For the rest of your life.
Sounds sweet.
See you next Friday.
Hardcore Classic.
Living off your income, chilling all day. Borrow the car and bring it back on low tank with his homeboys, playing 2K. You would come up, he don't wanna come up. That's why he praying on independent woman. Grocery list and all the bills is paid. He on his family plan, so all the calls are made. Yeah. Most of those go to others, trying to make you feel bad, saying you don't love them. Buy them new J's, whips and threads. He always got excuses, on polo bids, like pay up, yeah. Ain't no family plans, you was only trying to help a man become a man. Thought your love one day would help him grow up, but he just want a baby girl that he don't can pay up.